being on the front end for those churches and ministries to follow up in the way that the interest is generated. And so when you hear, you know, someone like John Lennox, if you're familiar with that name, come to campus and talk about God and science, it's very impressive. He's multi-PhD, I think Oxford or anyway, some, I think it's Oxford he's at. Very, very sharp, great speaker. And so he'll talk about God and science and how science shows God exists rather than disproving and whatever might come from that, answer questions. And so people will fill out contact cards because they're interested in hearing more about that. But then often the people doing the follow-up have no training in that area whatsoever, don't even have the approach of following up in that way, and so they get followed up and invited to a Bible study. And so there's this big disconnect there. So what we're trying to do is our speakers, our sessions will probably not be anywhere near as impressive, but we think by doing really good training on the front end with those churches and ministries and helping them to do exactly what we're working on in here, which is figure out when you do follow up, who is this person? What are their hangups? What are their questions? What's their background? And then we know how to approach that individual. And it may be, at some point, inviting them to a Bible study, but that can't be the cookie-cutter approach we have for everyone. So, with that being said, one of the things that will be needed is people to be volunteering, helping at the tables, helping with setup, helping to just coordinate and make sure everything's going well during that event in September. And so there's the potential that we could take a group from here. So we'll be having some of our team come up from this area, but of other churches we've worked at, we're going to see if we can get some volunteers that are interested in going, whether that means you actually trying to get in conversations and being part of that, or just helping to coordinate and volunteer and help to run other aspects and sort of dip your toes in the discussions as you feel comfortable. So I thought that was really exciting, and we had a great reception from the churches up there. It's really interesting, the contrast of down here in the South, we get more of a sense of churches that, maybe even if they don't know they have it completely figured out, they kind of think they have it more figured out than not. And there's usually an interest in what we're doing, but there's not always an enthusiasm, and it's kind of like, oh, that's great for other people. Where everyone we met with up there, there was really no resistance. There weren't really many questions even other than how do we get involved? How soon can you come and train us? What would you do? Because the situation is so much different up there. I think they said it's 6% evangelical in Maine. So it's a very different scenario there. There are some larger churches. There are a handful of, seems like, pretty solid churches, but they just don't know quite how do we bridge that gap. And really, all of them said, we're not satisfied that we're reaching our community. We're kind of getting Christians that move up here or they switch churches, but we're not really growing a lot. And so they're really eager to dive in and see what can come from this. A lot of them had the conviction that they've been trying to or realize they need to have more intentional training so that their people can reach those in the community around them, but they just haven't gotten there. They haven't figured out kind of what that looks like, and so, or they're in process. So anyway, so that was really exciting. Definitely be in prayer for that, really for where we're at as a ministry as a whole. Right now, I think I would say the next 3 to 4 months are a pretty vulnerable, pretty significant period in that we still have a lot more development to accomplish than we have sort of on-the-ground, tip-of-the-spear type ministry that you might think of. And so it's much more of a grind than it is seeing a lot of fruit. So that I think both from the standpoint of it's very tight financially, and then also it's a lot more work than reward, if you will. That creates just the environment where spiritual warfare, all of that, however all that interplays, I think now is a time where we're probably most vulnerable to challenges arising. And so if you would be in prayer for us, we would greatly appreciate that. Many of you are already on email lists or are supporting us. If you aren't and want to learn more about that, you can be sure to check in with me afterwards, and I can get you on all that. or get you whatever information you need. But what's very exciting, I think these university events in particular could be extremely, extremely valuable. And then we'll be setting up a online site that will be for that whole community, so called Reaching Orono. And so that will be a place for those churches to collaborate, and we'll continue giving them resources and training, and they can interact with us as needed. And so hopefully that will be a catalyst for those churches collectively impacting their community for years to come, which is one of our core goals that we're wanting to accomplish here. So that's that. Along those lines of thinking about our outreach, how do we have these conversations? So last week, we did our first kind of role play, and we talked about, you know, we just asked, what is Christianity? And we tried to summarize that. So I thought today would be good to reinforce that, but this time we're going to add an element where, so ask the question, try to summarize what Christianity is a little more succinctly and clearly, perhaps, than last time, but then try to find a way to pivot it, acting as though this person is not, you know, who you're talking to is not a Christian, to pivot it into a conversation where you are somehow asking them or presenting what they believe about it, or presenting in your presentation of what Christianity is, putting the gospel in there and then saying, you know, what do you make of, or what are your thoughts about? And try to have something where you pivot that and ask them, and then other person, you know, do your best to sort of act like a semi-interested but not really sure non-Christian, and see how the interplay goes there. I think that will be helpful, because that's, you know, it's really a process of, we need to know, okay, what is the core that we need? What is Christianity? What is the core? What is the gospel? How do we ask questions, learn how to learn who someone is, what are their challenges, what are their questions, what's their background, what are their hang-ups? But then you have to have that bridge. And so as we go along, we can kind of start working on that pivot. And so it can look different based on, you know, who you are, what are you comfortable with, what do you put in when you talk about that core of Christianity, what are you discussing, and what in that could be a pivot? How do you turn a question towards them that would draw them in and give you the opportunity to go further? And so if you have no idea, then we could talk about that. But I think most of you guys could probably come up with something. So we'll start off here. We're going to break into our groups again. So just break into pairs. And again, ask, what is Christianity? And then the other person respond with what that is. And then the person who's responding, ask a question to pivot it, to draw them in and find out where they are, find out what they think about it. Make sense? Yes or no? Sort of. Okay, so I'll just give an example, so you guys don't all have to do this, but if someone were to ask me that, I'd summarize Christianity, talk about maybe the story of the creation, fall, then there's redemption of the fall, and that at some point there will be a restoration, that all things will be made new, and whatever. And then I would go back to, but really what it all hinges on, the whole core is about, did Jesus rise from the dead? And that's why we believe him, and we believe what he says about all these other things. And so that's really the question, is did Jesus rise from the dead? So I might say a little bit about why we have that, but say, so what do you make of the evidence around Jesus's life? Or what do you make of Jesus's life? Something like that. That now they could say, well, I don't know, I've never thought about it, or yeah, I'm just not sure. Or I've never heard it said that way, I've never really thought of it like that, or whatever it might be. So that's how I would try to then turn it, not a threatening question, but just a, you know, what do you make of this? Or what maybe if you learned they were kind of raised in church but haven't been in a while, maybe say, what was your background? You said you grew up in church, what did you kind of get exposed to as Christianity? And then they respond, and you're listening, and you might ask a couple more follow-up questions before you really say more again. But it's that pivot that turns it from just sort of this theoretical to now we're actually finding out more about you. And so that's an important part, because that's often the most challenging. And it's not always going to be a situation where we were asked to describe what Christianity is. We're just using that as a starting point here. It may be that hasn't come up, but you found out something about this person, and then it's asking a question to learn more. So that pivot question is the difference between capitalizing on opportunity and taking it further or just kind of missing it. So I'm not saying this is the only way that would happen. We're just going to use this as the context so we can practice what's our summary of Christianity again. So that would be what I mean by a pivot question, though, is somehow drawing that person in and finding where are they at with whatever was discussed. And so, yeah, again, you can, for your made-up scenario, you can say, you can just pretend, say, now I know you said you used to go to church, even if they didn't tell you that in this, but just say that, whatever you feel comfortable with. So tell me more, what did you learn about Christianity growing up? And now you're going to find some things out. But that's, no one's going to feel threatened by that. It's not a shove it down your, what?
I am.
Well, you might, right. So we might, that's the thing is, this is, it's scarier for us to start to do this than it will be for the person if we do it in this kind of way. So that's what the challenge is for us to get comfortable asking that question about them. But if we do it in the right way, they're not going to be uncomfortable because you're just asking them a simple question. You're not saying, well, justify why your church taught this growing up, you know. You're saying, oh, tell me what did you learn growing up? Or did you have any exposure to Christianity growing up? So the challenge with that, it's not that it's too personal. It goes back to that thinking of our Christian to average American today translation guide of relationship with God. I may not have any idea. Like, I wouldn't know what that means as an atheist. That just sounds odd. Because if I don't already believe and believe that he's personal, then it sounds just really weird to say relationship. So if it's posed in a way where that's an assumption that you should be, I think that could create a barrier where you're saying, well, you should have this, so tell me what it's like. And instead saying, yeah, what do you, when I say God, what do you think? Or what does that bring to mind? What do you think of? And then another question after you learn that might be, so do you sense that you have a relationship to that God? Then that might be. But as a starter, that's going to be probably, it will cause problems at least some of the time. Not always. Sometimes you might find someone who would jump on that right away and they would get it or they would try to answer it as best they can. It's learning how do we create as few barriers to furthering the conversation as possible and not dropping in our sort of Christian assumptions, because that would be a very normal thing for us to say to one another. But especially more and more today, the average American, that's not going to be a normal. They're not going to understand that, especially as you go younger, probably even less so, because the amount that are unchurched that don't even have an awareness of Christianity. So, of course, you could run into adults that are in the same boat. But it's just trying to do as well as we can to get ourselves in that mindset of presenting it in a way where we can go further in most any conversation and not cut it off because we drop something in that's just confusing or assumes too much or pushes someone away. But I'm also, we don't need to present this watered down, nothing Christianity so that we don't offend people. That's not what I'm saying. But when we're learning about them, we don't put things in that are just going to be, you know, a stick in the spokes that just slam the brakes on things. We want to try to keep it moving until we figure out who they are, and then we're going to know if we can use that kind of language or not, or how we're going to bridge to get that understanding. Because, of course, at some point, it's going to be very important for them to understand that what Christianity is saying is that there is a God out there who created, but he created everything very specifically, and he loves you personally, and that you have the opportunity to be in a genuine relationship with that God. So we want to get to that, but that may be way down the line based on what they're, where they are. Okay, so again, our time here and right now, break into pairs, ask each other, what is Christianity? The person who's answering what it is, then ask a question to pivot it back and find out where that person's at in some way. Whatever, whether you want that to be, you present the gospel and you say, you know, have you ever heard the gospel? Or if you want to present it a little softer, you want to say, you know, what do you make of Jesus's life? Or if you want to even go back further and say, now you were raised in church, tell me, what did you learn growing up about Christianity or about God or Jesus or whatever you'd want to say? Does that make sense? Okay.
I hope so.
Okay. We'll take about 20 minutes, so go ahead and break up, and we'll dive in here. And if anyone needs help or has a question, just raise your hand. Thank you. All right, how much longer does everyone want? 5 minutes, good? Everyone kind of wrapping up? Okay, 5 minutes, and we'll come back together. One more minute. All right, let's come back together here. So how did it go? Did everyone... Difficult? Better than last week? A little bit? Okay.
So easy to go down bunny trails.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. That's one of the biggest things to learn, and why this practice can be so good is because it's only once you... often... until you've done it, and then you're halfway down and realize, wow, this is not helpful, and I have no idea how to get back on track, do you know, okay, next time I need to try and avoid that one. So you kind of have to make the mistakes. I mean, that's what I can do is just say, here's kind of what I've learned, and I've learned a lot from mistakes, but I can't make the mistakes for you completely. You know, part of it is you get out there, or you do it in role-playing even, and it's when you mess those things up and then you realize, then you know, okay, next time I need to try and avoid that one. So it's good to do it here. That's why we're doing this. So exactly. What? Uh-huh, exactly. Yep. And that's why I say get in mind if we can have a really solid of, this is what I really want to always talk about with regards to Christianity. This is how I want to be sure I present the gospel. Now, I may tweak slightly for context, but what are those core points that you want to make sure you're including no matter who you would talk to? And as long as you're solid on that, then you're going to be more comfortable with some of the other things because you know I always want to make sure I talk about X and Y and Z. So whatever I do, that's going to be included. And so it gives you the flexibility where if you've kind of never really thought about it and don't know what those things are, then you're going to end up all over the place and you're not going to know how do I pull it back. So if you can get set on that core, so we'll kind of continue to revisit that because I'm fairly confident that if we're really good on that, then we'll be more comfortable with the flexibility. Good, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The past, right, right, yeah, 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 right, yeah, that's great, yeah, that's great, right, right, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's great. And I think doing just that, sort of addressing it head on, especially if you sense that it might be there, just whether it's saying, you know, what's your experience been of Christians? I know a lot of people have had negative ones. You know, what has your experience been? And then just addressing that head on rather than avoiding it, I think is often going to be the best. And wherever we can find that we can agree with them and join their side, not, we don't want to throw everyone under the bus, whatever, just to, but where we genuinely can say, you know, I'm with you. That's terrible. I hate that the church has done that. You know, it's a terrible representation of Christ. It's not biblical. I'm with you. That's a problem. So now let's talk about this. Because we just sort of isolate that. Like they can't be as easily used against us. And when we sense that coming back in, we can say, you know, we can go back to that. You know, yeah, I remember, I agree. I'm with you on that. You know, you don't have to convince me. I'm with you. So that's always going to be helpful in a conversation, whether it's talking about Christianity or really anything. It's going to be when you can identify with someone and be on their team with something, then it's going to make it easier for us to bring in the things that they're not as comfortable with because we haven't just created this divide of me versus you. We've teamed up as much as we can. Other thoughts, comments? Okay, yeah. Right. 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 Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Did you grow up there? Yeah, what was that like? Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that same, taking a similar approach, we're finding out about their background, and then you can ask, you know, were you guys part of a church or anything growing up, and just see how they respond. You know, I think that's a pretty innocuous question, but it's going to tell you a lot based on how they respond, whether they answer positively and then tell you about it, and then you can ask more, or whether you can sense that there's something there, then, you know, that may give you something to go on. But I think that's a good, I don't like that as a first question, and that tends to, well, I kind of see that's a Southern thing, is like that's just a real quick question you ask, you know, are you part of a local church? I think there's a place for that. I think a little bit more front-loading, asking some other things, probably is a little more fruitful. So if we have the opportunity, probably better to ask a little bit more to find out about it and then ask that question. But it can be a really good question because it's going to tell us right away something significant. So, yeah. We'll continue to do, kind of discuss, see what other thoughts there were. But I did want to make a list of scenarios that we're all in that we could think through, whether we put some, we kind of group discuss or how we could start conversations in those scenarios. So we'll go back to that here in a minute. Keep discussing about how your conversations went, but then we'll revisit that and we'll put a whole list together that we can use going forward. So. Okay.
But one of the things is, it's not quite Choose Your Own Adventure, if you remember those books.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more that than it is...
Right, formula.
A formula, right? Like, I think if you have the end in mind of, I need to be praying the sinner's prayer with this person, if that is what your mindset is at the beginning of the conversation, it has the potential to not go well.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons. You're just going to disregard a lot of the things that they say because so focused on the goal of...
We have to get there.
Them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much totally choosing our adventure, but the ability to agree with them, even if they're only half right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, one of the scenarios that we came up with was somebody who responds with, well, I believe in a God, but I just think everyone's going to find their own path there, and we'll all end up in the same place at the end. Well, that's great. You believe in God.
Right.
Let me tell you more about, right? Like,
yeah.
You can agree with that. You don't
right.
necessarily agree with the rest of it.
Or saying, how did you come to that idea that it's all, everyone finds their way? And then they're going to say more, and you may find out, well, I guess I just kind of think it. I don't know where I got that from. Interesting.
I was thinking, Anna, is it not appropriate on an airplane to say, like, if we go down, where are you going to go?
Well, that's been done before.
When it works, it will work. When it doesn't, it really won't. That's one of those that, that's where, you know, and that, I think I've said this before, but if not, it's important to reiterate. The methods, there are people who have these sort of very cut and dry, here's the process. And those work some of the time, at least, which is why they think they're so good. What I think they miss on is, they don't work for everyone all the time. And my sense is that too easily, someone who has a very, this is my system, I've used it, I've seen people come to faith, I know it works, then it becomes, and the people who didn't respond, it's because their hearts were hard. The problem was them, not me or my system, because I know it works. And my personal contention with that would be, it works on those it works, and so you're seeing that, but the ones that it doesn't, you also have a responsibility for them, too. We don't get the right to be offensive just because the gospel can be offensive, right? And so the gospel may be, and that may be a stumbling block for someone who even we've had a great conversation with, but I don't think we get the right to be that upfront by the way we approach things, and if they disregard it, it's all on them. I think we have to look a little bit inside and say, was it on them, or was it partially me, or was it largely me? And that there's a little bit of a... Now, it's going to be hard to tell always, so I don't want this to be a massive burden we carry, like, did I ever push anyone away? But I think we should be approaching everyone with that mindset of, am I doing what I can to draw this person closer to God, not push them further away? Yes. If they do, exactly. If the respirators fall, then we can go pretty straight for it, right? People start panicking. I actually had a great opportunity once because we were in severe turbulence. There were tornadoes, and we got rerouted. We were circling. Like, it was this whole, and I had a Muslim woman sitting next to me, and she was losing it, absolutely losing it. And we had had a pretty productive conversation up to that point. And even more interesting, I was with a friend who I'm not sure really where he was. It was from a sport that I play, broom ball, and so we were going up to a tournament or coming back from. So he's just sitting there listening to this thing the whole time. We're going back and forth about Islam and Christianity and what's the basis and all this. So we'd already had a pretty productive conversation, and then we get into this, and she's just losing it. So she was much more interested in learning. And yeah, the scenario got even more interesting. She ended up staying at our house because we got in so late. So Erica came and picked us up, and she ended up getting permission to stay at our house because otherwise she was going to be at the airport all by herself, which that's probably not the best scenario. And yeah, it was a very bizarre thing, but pretty cool opportunity. So yes, when it gets that intense, then people get a little bit more interested. So. Okay.
Many jokes in aviation about that, especially the person that's a real nervous flyer. Aren't you care about there might be a bomb on here? I'm not worried about it at all. What are you talking about? He says, well, there's only one chance in 5 million that there'll be a bomb on the airplane. So I carry my own bomb. And the guy, what difference does that make? He says, because there's
25 million to one chance of Yes. So yeah, it's just thinking about that, how you know, what, where is this person, and taking them where they can go, and not necessarily having a preconceived. And that's again why I like to focus so much on, if I can talk about the resurrection. While that is not the gospel completely, right? It's that central element, and I can talk about it from a little bit more of an arm's length of a historical, and what do you make of this? And if I can get to that, I know we can have some productive conversation there, and that will at least set up the opportunity to go further. But I'm not going to force that either. I'm going to kind of see who is this person, what's their background, what's their baggage, what are their ideas? Because we'll have to clear those up anyways. Let's say they were raised in church, but they were at a very odd church, say maybe it was a cult or even something, and they have very, very confused ideas of what Christianity is, and you mostly just present the gospel and reintroduce them to Christianity, but you haven't sort of eradicated all that bad thinking, they may just be going right back to that mentality, and that may not even be Christianity anyway. So I think we have to, in some way or another, where possible, deal with whatever their thoughts might be about Christianity and what it is, and make sure to correct those or introduce proper, healthy, if they don't have really anything there. Renew what you're saying. Right. Was wrestling. Right.
And then,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Right. You have that common ground. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm. He just took over. Mm. 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 Right. Mm. It hasn't, right. Right. Mm. Right. 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 Yeah. Okay. Mm. Mhm. Right. Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, as much as we can listen and ask questions rather than talk, at least on the front end, it's almost always going to be helpful, cuz we're going to know more and they're going to know we're actually interested in them and that it's not just, you know, I'm not just meeting my quota. So, this isn't just, okay, I can check the box. I went and told five people, moving on, you know, with life. Right. I think that genuineness really is appealing. So that's great. Yes. Yeah, no, that's right, exactly. That's awesome. That's awesome. So how did everyone do with the, how did you feel with your pivot of turning back and asking the other person, drawing them in? Did you feel comfortable? Did that, was that helpful? Any comments there? How did you guys do that? What was your question or how did you do your turn? Anyone want to share? Okay. Go back. Yep. Anyone else?
I'm sure. I basically said, well, honestly, I don't know how to answer that unless I'm
not sure. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's very good.
And then you all started with
right.
Believe in God.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that foundation.
Right. Yeah, or they're looking for, maybe, yeah, often they will, or they really have a question, like, unless you can resolve it, it's just not going to be productive to go any further.
Aren't a lot of people in this country totally clueless about the whole concept of God?
Yeah, I mean, they're like a nominal agnostic, sort of don't care, what do we call it, apathetic, what were they, yeah, so there's their therapeutic, what?
Functional atheist.
Yeah, functional atheist, but a lot of people have a view, what's it been coined, something therapeutic deism, yeah, MPD, something, no, that's something different, sorry, going back, anyways, yeah, therapeutic deism, what?
Moralistic.
Moralistic, there you go, moralistic therapeutic deism, that's right, so kind of be a good person. It makes you feel good. It adds value to your life. And, you know, you kind of get some good stuff at the end. But that's about it. Like, there's no structure to it. There's no core tenets of belief. It's just sort of God's there. Sort of be a good person. Don't kill anyone. You know, he's there. If you have a lot of trouble, he'll maybe fix it for you. And then you'll get some good stuff at the end. So that's kind of the general view that would probably be most predominant, with very little structure and coherence inside of that any further. So At all, right.
And they don't.
Yeah.
And the idea of God is very irrelevant
mm-hmm.
to most people out there.
Yeah. Yeah, functionally, if not actually. Right.
It doesn't enter
mm-hmm.
their
yeah. There is a growing awareness of more of a vague spirituality. They're finding, while there's not a significant rise in atheism, like true atheism, someone who actually has really, or at least thinks they've really thought through it and holds to the fact there are no gods, there is no supernatural, there is none of that, pure naturalism. There's a functional naturalism that's kind of present all over the place where we tend to think, even within Christianity, you might think more like the physical world is all there is in a lot of ways. but what they're finding in the younger people is that the trend is not an increase in atheism, but an increase in sort of spiritism, occult, New Age, Wicca, all of that, paganism, essentially, a reemergence of paganism. True atheism is really hard. Very few people can actually hold a true atheism and try to live that way. Most people, while they might functionally be atheists, need some sort of, there's just an awareness, there's something in us. I think it's evidence that there is, I mean, of the Creator. But there is something in most people where they need something a little more than just the physical world. It just doesn't quite do it. Now, functionally, they might be closer to atheists the way they live and talk and everything like that, but they need a little something for the most part. So, but when we run into an atheist, yeah, it's figuring out, even with that, it's why. What does that mean for this person and why are they there? Is it a rebellion and a rejection of what they've seen and they just have so much hate towards a really bad experience of God and the church or parents that were hypocrites or whatever that they're in rebellion? Or do they just really think that the evidence points this way? And we're going to deal with those two scenarios in a very different way. We may have to answer some of the same questions, but we know there are very different agendas behind those questions. So it's finding out that first. Because for some people, like, again, my question was, I just needed someone to explain to me how in the world you got the Bible today the same way that they wrote it 2,000 years ago. And until you could answer that, I saw no reason to take it any more seriously. Because if you're telling me I need to base my eternity on this book and you don't even know how you got it, that to me sounded a little crazy. That you base your whole eternity and everything you do in life on this book, but you don't know where it came from. Now, of course, they thought, well, no, I know it did. But when they couldn't explain that to me as someone who's questioning, I'm saying, well, I know you think you do, but you can't give me anything. So for me, it was much more of a genuine question. And if somebody could have resolved that, then I would have said, oh, okay, well, now what about this? And then we would have moved on. But until you could resolve that, I just didn't see reason to take it any more seriously. Others, and even that I've spoke with, atheists, it is just I'm just doing whatever I can to avoid God. I'm not willing to take any of it seriously. As soon as you answer one question, I'm just going to come up with another to try and replace it and try to evade ever having to think seriously about God existing. And so that sometimes is the case, but we need to make sure we find out which one it is. What else did people do to pivot? Any other questions that you thought were pretty good or helpful? Okay, so what scenarios are people in? And I know for some of us it's actually hard, especially those of us in ministry. Say you're in ministry and you're at JARS. You know, it's going to be a lot harder. So what scenarios are you in or could you be in that we could maybe discuss at some point? So airplanes, one, coworkers, right? Some of us work in more of a secular work environment. So I can put that down. What others do you guys have? Okay, a friend? Okay. Friends? Family? Family's easy, right? Okay.
I meet people at Burger King a lot.
There you go. Okay, so just out random, sort of in the community, right? That can be intentional or it can be incidental. One of the things we've done in the past, I haven't done in a little while, would go to the bookstore and just hang out in an aisle that would be relevant, New Age or science or atheism section or even the Christian section. Just watch for someone to pull a book off and just engage them in a discussion about the book. And it's the easiest way that I've ever seen to have intentional, to say, I'm going to go out and try to have a conversation with someone and have productive, healthy conversation. I mean, probably 45 minutes would be the average conversation you have with someone in a bookstore if you really if you have the time. Because when somebody goes into a bookstore nowadays, it's very intentional, right? Because it's very easy to get books not in a bookstore. So if you're going in, you most likely have time. You're most likely quite interested in learning and thinking.
Most likely over 60.
No, not necessarily. You might be over 60, but I've talked to a lot of people that aren't. And so sometimes what we'll do even is go, you know, like 10:30, 11, and get in a conversation, and then you have the window to say, hey, you know, I've got time. Would you want to go grab lunch in the food court? And I've talked to one guy for like 2.5 hours one time. We went all over the place. He was quite ardent atheist, but it was a lot of fun. So anyway, so that can be something where we're in the community, but we're being intentional, and then here can be other times where it's just sort of we happen to be there and an opportunity presents itself. Any others? Any other particular ones for you guys? Sure. Yeah. Yeah, just getting to know them and seeing. Yeah, oh yeah, definitely accomplished a lot. I mean, moved them forward a lot. For me, now, I would say I'm about as comfortable and prepared to talk to an atheist as, maybe not as could be, but definitely up there on the scale, right? I feel very, very comfortable, and it's easy for me because I can identify with it. Now, maybe not the brand, the flavor that they have. So that would be one where I would say I'm uniquely gifted to be able to do. My background, the way I think, everything lays out very well for that. I'm meeting with a guy actually on Monday, a pastor from another church has met this kid who's 18, 19. He's going to be graduating with 2 degrees from UNCC, very, very sharp. But is atheist, and so this guy told him about me, said, hey, I have a friend who actually has a similar background, but he came to, so the kid's really excited to meet me, and so he's told me, this pastor's told me about some of the questions he asked, and they're good questions, but they're not actually near as hard as they seem, and so that for me is a scenario where I'm like, you know, a fish in water. Not everyone would be that comfortable with that particular one, so it would be much more of a learning experience for someone who doesn't know how to answer, just finding out. But even if you don't know how to answer, if you can say, ask questions, okay, how did you come to that? You know, so what do you think is behind that? And let me write that down. That's interesting. I've never heard someone ask that before. I don't know how I would answer that. Let me look into it. Could we schedule lunch for 2 weeks and could I see what I can find on this, you know? And if they say no, then that tells you a lot. Then it's the atheist who just doesn't care. But if they say yes, and you're showing that much interest that I'm going to learn something to try and meet you where you are, how much does that really, I mean, how often does somebody have someone do that with anything in their life? So I think that will be very compelling. But yeah, so I say it's fun because for me that is. Now, I enjoy getting to know someone in that scenario and being able to have these discussions. So it's not going to be quite the same for everyone, but that would be why I would say it's fun.
Atheists are a piece of cake compared
to nominal Christians.
A young man who was raised in church.
Yep.
And he's now
early
20s.
Right.
And he's living with his girlfriend. All about Christianity.
Right. Yeah.
To lunch a couple of weeks ago, and he knows how to answer all the questions.
Right.
I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
How to be good for it.
Yeah, that can be tricky. So what he's saying is that sometimes the atheist might be the easy one. It's the kid raised in church that now is kind of just living however, but knows all the Christian answers, knows the.
He's basically said, you know, Christianity is not really that important in my life right now.
Right.
What
does that mean? Right. So I would always ask then, I say, well, to me, it's a matter of whether it's true or not. So there can be value to religion or different things we do just because of what they provide in our life, whether they're true or not. But to me, in the end, Christianity is really about whether it's true or not. Paul says this, right? If Christ is not raised, then we of all men are to be most pitied. It's a waste of time. So, you know, what do you make of that? And do you think it's true? And if so, then why are you not living your life in accord with it? And if not, then what are the reasons that you don't think it is? So I guess that would be the question I would ask. Yeah, it should, right? So what he's showing you is he doesn't really believe it's true. He might know all the answers, and unfortunately, he may have been raised in a way where that's what it is. It's just knowing that, you know how to answer these things, you know how you're supposed to act in this certain situation, but he may have never thought about it as something that's actually true or false in the end, that it's not just some pragmatic, this is just what we do, this is our social club, here's the keys to get into our social club, and here are the protocols when you're in the social club. He may not have ever had it presented as anything more than that.
I think we would all be surprised to know how many people, including my son,
mm-hmm.
who were in and around Christians
yep.
all of their lives,
right.
and then they went to university and got delivered from their faith.
Right, yep.
And if you'd ask him beforehand if he understood what Christianity is,
right,
he'd answer all the questions right.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was tacked up with his girlfriend, which he wasn't,
right,
Lord, what would he do with that?
Yeah, and this is why going out and actually trying to talk with people about it is what I've seen now, not that I have this immense experience, but drawing on both my personal experience and some other things I've seen people do, that process of going and trying to explain to someone that doesn't believe the same, that's not in the social club, and maybe getting your tail handed to you a little bit or getting really confused and not being able to, that is the thing I've seen that is the most successful at helping people to actually own their faith versus just exist in it. In the way that I would phrase it, is that I think a lot of youth are living on the faith of their parents or of their church. They don't even have their own, but nobody knows.
And they don't know they don't.
They don't know that they don't. They don't. We don't know that they don't because they can answer all the questions. They know all the protocols. It's not until they get out and really get tested and they find out, wait, why do we do that? I don't know why we do that. I don't know why we think that. Yeah, why do we think that? And then it can spiral, and you'd put that in an environment where there are lots of things they could go do that would be seemingly advantageous if they didn't have this anchor holding them back. And then,
you mean the fun stuff?
Yeah, couple that with guys with PhD behind their name that are telling them this is all fairy tales and foolishness, and you've got, I think, the perfect recipe for at least temporary abandonment. We do see that some of them come back. I even question some of the comeback statistics because if it's like, well, they know they want to come back and once they have kids, then what is it you're coming back to? Are you really coming back to the truth or are you just like, yeah, I think it'd be best for my kids to kind of experience that social club. So, and we're over if people want to go get coffee or whatever. Yeah. Right, when it doesn't go. Yep. And like I said, I know of a church that has done that, and they have essentially flipped the statistics completely on their head, where they're going from, you know, the statistics going to be 60 to 80% walking away, at least during college, where they're flipping it to where they're 90% are remaining committed, solid Christians in college. And the difference is they've went out and they've went to a university as a group and they were trying to witness and have conversations with college students as high school students, getting their tails handed to them, coming back and then they have pizza and they debrief and whatever. And it makes them own it in a way that is not possible when it's just youth group and whatever. Not that that's bad, it's just incomplete because it hasn't been tested, right? They've got to go get tested in the fire And then you burn out all those impurities. And that's exactly what life does to us, those of us that are committed. But I think for youth, it's just so sheltered in our time. You know, you're insulated for the most part from economic challenges, from all these other things. And so unless you've had to go do that, there's very little that's ever truly tested your faith. So. All right, very good.